Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, episode number 10 for our podcast. We are happy that you're joining us, and I keep mentioning this because it's true, but Mike and I love doing this. We have a good time, and I'm sure you're the same way, Mike, but when we're done with the podcast and a couple, 3 days later, I'm always thinking about, okay, what's next? What's next? What can we talk about? What do I need to kind of be making notes of to talk about at the next podcast and that kind of a thing? What can we do to grow it and improve it?
Yeah, and it's fun to hear the feedback from everyone out there saying, hey, I like your podcast. Like, you know what? That is just cool.
Yeah, I agree. That's super cool because sometimes it does feel like maybe we're just doing it just for you and I and the two of us, and which is cool. Actually, I would continue to do it anyway because it's kind of fun. We just love talking about running. But it is really nice to hear when we run into people outside, you know, around town or through an email or Facebook or something and say, thanks for doing this. We really appreciate it. Here's an idea that I have, that kind of thing. We love hearing all that because we definitely want to see what we can do with this thing and, I don't know, I guess improve it and make it more accessible and that kind of a thing. With that in mind, we do have some ideas and some subtle changes and things that'll be coming up with the podcast here in the next couple of, including this episode, and then with the next few episodes along the way. First of all, one thing that we want to talk about is we're going to slightly change the format of a daily podcast. And currently what we do is we have roughly the first half of the podcast is kind of a rundown of a newsreel kind of approach where we talk about upcoming races, we talk about race results, maybe we talk about gear, we talk about Coach's Corner, what I'm into, that kind of thing. Because the racing season will be really slimming down, there will be far less to talk about with regards to upcoming races and race results. So what we're going to hope to do is, in fact, we are going to try to do is change that format a little bit and mostly make the podcast the interview itself for roughly November through March when the racing season is really at a lull. We'll still talk about certain things. Gobble Gallop will be coming up in November. There's always some winter races to talk about. So we'll talk about that too when it does happen, but there's just far less of those races. And so that means we're going to need to fill some time basically. So what we want to do is change the format a little bit with the interview, maybe have the interview be a specific topic with potentially one person, but maybe even as many as three or four people all sitting in a kind of a round table discussion where we talk about what's your favorite running shoe or, you know, what's your favorite training route or that kind of a thing. But maybe hopefully something a little more detailed than those ideas. But anyway, that's going to be something we'll look at starting roughly November, maybe the next podcast, maybe the one after that. We'll figure that out later. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing too that we're going to change and with this episode is kind of a part one, part two. We got a suggestion for that, and I think it's a really good idea because sometimes our podcasts do get a little lengthy, and it's hard for the users, for you guys who are listening, to maybe sit down and listen to the entire hour and a half episode in one sitting.
Or like so, pick up where you left off, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, and I'm the same way. I always listen back to our podcast, and I rarely listen to the entire podcast all at one time because I just don't have the time. It's a little lengthy. And so what we're going to do is we're going to break it up into two halves, part one and part two. We'll release them all at the same time, but we're going to have the first half being more of that newsreel rundown thing and the second half being the interview. So hopefully that makes it a little more user-friendly for you guys out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So thank you for those suggestions. I think they're great ideas, and hopefully we can make it a little bit better for everybody. With that in mind, let's run down some of the race results in upcoming races.
Yeah, we got several race results from the last couple weeks. Some NMTC results. We can start there. Browns Point on September 25th, Superior, Wisconsin, 121 runners, won by Nick Nygaard on the men's side with a 30 minutes, 55 seconds. And the first female time was, do you have that, Tony?
Yeah, Kaylin Williams won it, but I didn't have her time. I just wrote down the...
Yeah, she was a 35:47, 7 minute, 12 second pace per mile. Nice job, Kaylin. We also have Rock Hill, another NMTC race. That I do not have up.
I just have the winners on that. And Scott Bailing was the men's winner, and Rachel Mason was the women's winner on that.
Scott won by a hefty margin. I do know that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Kaylin and Rachel have been going back and forth on the win column like every other week, which is, that's my personal favorite part of NMTC is you get, it doesn't have to be at the top, the winning side, but in the whole ranks, it always seems like you're kind of dueling with one other person who's like similar to your skill level. And
yeah,
what I love is how you can figure out if you're better at the flats and the other person's better at the technical, or if you're better at uphill, they're better at downhill, and trying to exploit their weaknesses.
Yeah, there's certainly kind of the mano-a-mano racing,
yeah,
but stretched out over the course of a handful of weeks.
Right.
Yeah.
Should we just do all the NMTC quick?
I was going to mention, let's do that, yep.
And Pine Valley, the last one, Nick Nygaard wins that one, 19.07 with a 5.36 pace. Not too bad for trail, huh? And then Kaylin Williams, 23.14, 6.48 pace. Nice, that's moving, so... nice job, Nick and Kaylin. And I also have the standings up through Pine Valley. So last time we recorded, yours truly,
yep,
Mike Ward was a number four, and now I've moved to the top, which I'm hanging on to by the hair in my chinny chin chin.
The top spot. And I was looking at the times, like, and you've hit all the races. The other two, three, four guys below you have hit all the races. So I expect that to continue, where everybody's going to hit all the races. So my thought was, you're going to have to continue to work hard. You can't just kind of,
I know,
show up and jog them in and get the point win. You're going to have to actually continue to race and push. That's going to hurt a little bit. Not that you can't do it, but can't mail it in just yet, Mike.
I know. Well, and we've talked about this already today, but it's looking a little dicey for the bull run this Sunday. After Pine Valley, which was just on Wednesday, we're recording on Friday, the 11th here. And so this is a kind of a strange week because there's the race on Wednesday and Sunday.
Yep.
And then they're all Sunday from here on out. Well, there's the rain date, which is nice for me because I'm racing Wild Duluth, so I don't have to worry about doing that race on Sunday. Well, if the bull run gets rained out like the forecast is suggesting it might, then bull run probably gets moved to the next week, which means that I'm not going to have a good time.
The bull run.
That's almost guaranteed. Yeah, the bull run.
Because you will have done, and we'll talk about Wild Duluth here in a little bit, but you will have done. Tell them what you will have done.
100K, 10K, at terribly tough 10K at Wild Duluth, and then perhaps bull run.
Perhaps
so
bull run.
I really have my fingers crossed, and I'm going to be racing on Sunday for NMTC.
So we'll see how that goes, but that's, yeah, yeah. So
just for context, Mike Ward placed one with 848 points. Ethan Anderson has 842 points, and Kyle Trudeau has 836 points. And so pretty much the differential of placements, that's what dictates the points. And so if I get like 50th place at bull run and Ethan gets, you know, like he's been in the top 10,
yeah,
if he gets 10th, yeah, I mean, that's a 40-point differential. So
yeah,
way back, yep, way back. So
without, yeah, a lot of races to make up.
Without, yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
On the ladies' side, dominant Kaylin Williams is pretty much dominating the, well, it's decently close, but yeah, she's dominating. 896 for Kaylin. Just to go down like her results standings, her points, 150 is first place, and then second place you get 149 points, third place 148, and so on. So she has 149, 148, 150, 150, 149, 150.
Yeah.
I mean, she's been top three. So
every,
yeah,
single time.
Pretty,
yeah,
dominant.
Yep.
Caitlin Huntley is second place with 867 points. And then Elizabeth Sellers has 866 points. So place two and three, that's tight. So that's fun to watch. But yeah, Kaylin's pretty dominant on top right now.
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty cool to see. There's some pretty fast girls doing those NMTC races. And Rachel Mason hasn't made all of the NMTC races, but when she's there, she's pretty much 150 or 149 every single time. I think she's a little farther down the list now because she's missed a couple of races possibly.
Yeah.
But that goes to show too, like if you can make all of them, that's a huge boost. Plus you get an extra 25 points for making them all.
The bonus.
So that helps too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What are the results? Yeah.
Cloquet River Run.
Yep.
You want to talk about that one, Tony?
Do Cloquet River Run. Again, I just wrote down the winners and not necessarily the times, but the men's winner was Ed Martin and the women's winner was Jody Zalesnikar. And so that happened at Cloquet River Run, kind of a fun race. Also, one thing I noticed when I was looking at the results is quite a battle in the women's under 12 age division.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you noticed that, but Sasha Wahman won it at age 10, and an 11-year-old was right on her heel, so look for big things from those two for the next, I don't know, 30 years of running.
That's a competitive age group right there.
Right, yeah, exactly. That was kind of cool.
In the 1 mile, too, I'll mention Colton Rehnquist, 11-year-old, ran a 6:25 mile.
Nice.
And then second place with the exact same time, Nicole Lundberg, 34-year-old from Cromwell, 6:25 as well. So
cool.
Yep. What else do we have? Do you want to talk about Grand Traverse a little bit? I guess we won't really get into results too much, but I think sold out over, 300-400 people. It was a beautiful day.
Yeah.
On the trails.
It was a lovely day that day. I didn't do it, but I've done that race. And I always use the term race loosely with that one because they don't themselves consider it a race necessarily, though you do get an official time and all that kind of a thing.
Right.
It's really more just a fun day out on the trails when they support you with some aid stations along the way. A really super cool event, and it's nice for people who aren't always looking to have that competitive aspect of trail running and the racing and go fast kind of mentality. You can just go out there and have a good time. And the weather was beautiful. And I know a lot of people that did one of the four different distances that they have and really enjoyed it. So
I think that's just a great training, event. I will say for Wild Duluth, if you really want to compete,
absolutely.
Which Wild Duluth is a little more competitive and just kind of framed as a race a little bit more, obviously. Whereas you can be on the Wild Duluth course; it's the same course, support, and 3-4 weeks out, is the actual race. So
yeah, Grand Traverse is really cool. They bus you out to your respective start lines, and you just run right back. And that's a cool opportunity. You don't get to be able to do that very often, to have a point to point of that kind of distance. So.
Mm-hmm. I have some results pulled up here from the Berkey Trail Run. I'm looking on Northland Runner right now, and they don't show where they're from. So I'm having a tough time picking out the Duluthians. Do you have the results from?
I did not write down, because there's so many races. I just didn't write down all the Berkey ones. I know that there's Duluthians that went over there for it.
I have
whatever race they did.
I have Andrew Schroeder winning the 100K at Berkey with a time of 8:40. That's fast. Yeah, and on the ladies' side, Samantha Van Wetchel with 11:58, which is also very fast. I'm noticing one name here, Evan Wetzel. I think that's a local guy. Sub 11, 10:58, so that's pretty good. They have a few 25.8 miles. Ben Vasky wins it, 3:19. Second place overall, Josie Nelson, 3:40. I'm sure that some Duluthians went down, but I'm just having a hard time finding that right now. And they also have a 13-miler. Jacob Brown, that's a Duluthian, second place overall, 1:31. The winner, Nicholas Tsefos, 1:30. And the ladies champion of the Berkey half, Jessica Graveson, with a 1:51. What other results are we looking at there, Tony?
Cool. I think that's about it. Did we talk last time? I can't remember about the Forestry Center 5K. I don't remember if that one was mentioned.
I'm not sure.
But anyway, I can't remember if we mentioned that the last podcast or not, but the winners were Sam Jacobson for the men and Lauren Stach for the women for the Forestry 5K.
Do you want to talk about TC? Big race.
Yeah.
TC Marathon.
Yep.
I know there's one kind of notable finish up top, Matt Welch,
yep, exactly.
Who's a former ESCO runner,
yep.
Duluth area native, I believe, who had an Olympic qualifying time of 2:17:44. So Matt Welch out of now Portland, Oregon, but a former Northland resident.
Yeah,
pretty cool to see.
I think Proctor.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah. But yeah, so yeah, he smoked it. His debut marathon in fifth place. That was his first marathon. Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. So he got an Olympic trials qualifying time, so he gets to go run that. And that Olympic trials marathon obviously is a couple, 3-4 months away, but there's so many people in it this year. It's really cool to see a lot of people, both on the men's and the women's side, making that qualifying time. So
nice. Yeah, especially kind of local, you know.
Yeah.
I'm looking at other, trying to find other Duluthians. Ashley Likens from Duluth, a 3:15:55 at Twin Cities Marathon. That's a nice time.
That's really good.
Yeah, nice job, Ashley. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. I had some people in my training group down at the 10 miler as well. They had a good time down there. Yeah, Twin Cities is always a super fun event.
The last results that I have locally anyways, Fickers Harvest Run 5K, which was last weekend, won by Benjamin Welch with an 18:07.
Nice job, Ben.
And then Eleanor Brandt, out of Duluth with a 22:10.
Nice job, Eleanor. She's on the Zenith Athletic Club as well as, I believe, maybe the second place finisher. Is that Sam?
Sam.
Yep. Sam is also on the Zenith Athletic Club.
Sam Drellinger.
Yep. Nice job, guys.
I think that's pretty much it for recent race results. Is that right, Tony?
Yeah, I think so. That's at least the ones that I found, yeah.
Should we move on to upcoming races?
Talk about, some of the upcoming races. There's actually one tonight. It's Saturday officially over in Europe, but it's Friday night here in the U.S., and that's the Ineos 159 Challenge. It's not really a race, I guess, but a time trial kind of approach where Eliud Kipchoge is trying to break 2 hours in the marathon. And that's happening tonight. And then they have like a window. They don't have a specific time. It's like 11 a.m., anywhere between 11 and 3.
Right.
11 p.m. and 3 a.m. or something like that. I'm not going to be staying up to watch it simply because I have a race on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would stay up to watch it. But anyway, that's happening. It's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah. And so our podcast will probably be launched after the fact, but maybe we could post something on Facebook or something, a link.
Yeah.
Because I know it's live streamed, right?
Yep. It's live streamed on YouTube.
Yeah. Yep. I know we talked about these three races this upcoming weekend last week. Bemidji Blue Ox Marathon. I believe they have a half, 5K, 10K perhaps too.
Yep. And they also have 2 days.
2 days of races.
Saturday. Yep.
The Whistle Stop Marathon, which I know you're doing the 10K, Tony.
Yep, I'm doing the dime.
Nice. How are you feeling about that?
I'm ready to go. I'm excited. I really like that race. I like doing the 10 over there a lot. The half is fun too. I've never done the full over there, but I really like it. It's end of the season, so hopefully, you know, the goal is to be kind of at your fittest point. At least it is for me. And so, I'm looking forward to it.
And what's the weather forecast?
Last I looked, it was cold. I haven't looked in the last couple of days, but cold and maybe windy coming out of the southwest, I think. A pretty blustery day.
Southwest is good, though. That kind of pushes you right in. Is that right?
Yeah, it should be. If we feel it in that corridor, it's hard to say. We might be hidden from it a decent amount. It does make the finish area. That's always kind of breezy down there if there's a windy day. Maybe won't affect the racing, but it might affect the spectating down at the finish area. It can maybe get a little chilly down there with the wind and the cooler temps. But it's going to be cloudy, maybe some snow in the early afternoon. Snow or rain, probably more rain in the early afternoon, which I hope doesn't happen, but we'll see.
A lot of Northlanders going down for Whistle Stop, so
yep,
for sure. Congrats to everyone doing that. We'll do a recap, you know, next episode.
Yep.
The Gandy Dancer Trail Marathon, which Duluth Timing and Events is race timing for.
Nice, yep.
And so that is in Luck, Wisconsin, a couple 2 hours south. They have a half marathon, 5K, and the marathon, and a marathon relay, which you don't see all too often, which is kind of cool. Four-person relay.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's a cool event from what I'm told, and I know the race director a little bit, so say hi to Eric when you guys get out there.
I will.
Yeah.
Bull Run is on Sunday, October 13th. Mm-hmm. So, the first Sunday, NMTC.
Hopefully. It's on Sunday, October 13th. Also the Chicago Marathon.
The Chicago Marathon.
Not exactly local, but.
Yeah. Do you know anyone locally going down to do that, Tony? Or I'm not sure.
Ah, good question. I don't think so.
If you're listening and you're doing the Chicago Marathon, let us know, and then we'll give you a shout out next.
Yeah, exactly.
And let us know your finish time.
Yeah.
Looking to next weekend, which is at probably this weekend for people listening, the Pumpkin Run in Cloquet is a fun 5K. Awards are a pumpkin. So if you win your age group, you get to pick a pumpkin. And that is on Saturday, October 19th.
Mm-hmm. I've heard good things about that race. I've never ran it, but everybody who does it, they love it.
I have a brief story about that. I did the 5K and I was lucky enough to win my age group. And so I got to pick a pumpkin. And I knew I won my age group, so when they're, you know, doing all the names, I was like kind of looking at the pumpkins to pick which one I would take. Like to myself, like, I'm going to be funny. I'm either going to pick like a hilariously small pumpkin or like a hilariously big pumpkin. I get up there, I got to go big. So I got the big, huge pumpkin. Well, I forgot at the time that I parked like a mile away. And so like I had to lug this huge pumpkin all the way. Like, forget this. I should grab this. But I brought it back.
Nice.
So that's a fun race. You know, a cool course, a few hills, and it's pretty competitive sometimes. I think so.
Yeah, some fast times.
Yep. We have the Savage 100 and the Surf the Murph races. So that's every 5 years. Is that right? They have the 100 miler?
Yep.
And then a 50K and 50 mile?
Yep.
For Surf the Murph, and that's in Savage, Minnesota, right?
Yeah, at the Murphy-Hanrahan State Park down there. Yep. And good luck to Kyle Sather doing the 100 miler.
First 100 miler.
Yep. And also on the 19th
is Wild Duluth.
Yeah, absolutely.
I should say Wild Duluth 100K and 50K. Yep. So the two ultra distances are on Saturday, and then new this year, the Harder Than Heck Half Marathon and the Terribly Tough Inaugural 10K are on the Sunday. And so that's kind of a unique concept. I'm looking at some of the start list for the 50K. I think that's going to be pretty competitive on both the guys and the girls side. On the guys side, Kyle Severson, he's just a super strong runner. I think he could definitely be in contention for the win. Scott Peterson on Ultra Sign Up is slated to win, but that's not always super correct. Mark Emmons is a pretty good Ultra guy. He, I think, is top 10 at Superior, and I believe he was top 3 or 4 with over 100 miles at the Last Runner Standing this year.
Oh, okay, cool.
So out of Minneapolis, this Mark Emmons fellow. For sure he can run long distances, so I think he's got a shot at that. And Ryan Soule, he's a speedy guy, formerly from the Northland here and now lives in Woodbury. I think he's going to be right up there as well. So just kind of glancing at the start list, I think Kyle Schmidt, he's fast too. Yep. I think he's looking for vengeance after a tough 50 mile at Superior. So Kyle Schmidt, I would look for him in the top 5 or so. On the ladies' side, I'm putting my money on Kaylin Williams because she's just been smoking these Wednesday night trail series, and she's just a good runner. I know she's got some chops at some of the longer stuff, so I would say Kaylin. Aurora Koth, she's a super strong runner, racing all the time. I think she's going to be right up there too. And Sydney Carrolls as well.
Yeah.
I think she's a kind of a speedier runner. Yep. I don't exactly know, but that's kind of what I would guesstimate for those top runners, all locals too. So that's cool.
Yep.
I want to mention kind of this cool Wild Duluth concept that the race directors Kim and Andy are doing this year, called the Wild Man and the Wild Woman and the Ultimate Wild Man and Ultimate Wild Woman. And so the idea is that if you do the 100K on Saturday and the 10K on Sunday, you can either be the Ultimate Wild Man or Ultimate Wild Woman. And I believe you get a hatchet or some sort of prize or something if you just complete both. And then if you do the 50K and the half on, you know, Saturday and Sunday respectively, then you become the wild man or the wild woman, which I think is kind of cool. Personally, I think the 50K and half would be a little more challenging than the 100K and the 10K.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that. I agree. Yeah, even though the distances are greater in the 100K, 10K. Yeah.
And my kind of my criticism is that you think there would be 100K and then the half.
Yeah.
And then the 50K and the 10K, like the two longer and the two shorter.
Right.
But maybe that's just too much.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, I like the concept of the 100K, 10K because they're so, you know, different. But I feel like after you've done the 100K, you should be able to just simply go out and just finish the 10K.
One thing.
Yeah, yeah.
My strategy and my kind of thought, because I'm doing the 100K and then the 10K, is that if I can beat my pace, beat my 100K pace, I'm going to be happy.
There you go,
Honestly, I don't know if that's going to even work. And the course for the 10K is tough.
Yes.
It's called the Terribly Tough 10K. So,
I've seen that.
It starts at the Bex Road trailhead on the Spear Hiking Trail, which is right at the base of Ely's Peak.
Yep.
You go up and over Ely's Peak, Barden's Peak, and then in the really technical, challenging section of kind of Spirit Mountain there. Mm-hmm. And then the finish is at Spirit Mountain, the bottom chalet.
Yeah.
So that's not going to be easy at all.
No, it won't be for sure. And because this is the first year, there's so much unknown for everybody. You guys are all the canary in the coal mine here for this first year.
Right.
To see how difficult this is. And who knows, maybe the it's too difficult to do the 100K or 10K. I don't know. We'll find out. It's all theory at this point until the actual event happens. So.
Well, I know usually with like a hard race effort, I try and get out the next day, no matter how painful. Because then I think in 2 days, I feel overall better.
Yeah.
Versus if you just laze around all day the next day, you just kind of get stiff. And it's almost like, you know, especially for something like 100K or ultra or even like a road marathon, you know, it could be like 5 days later, you're still like just not feeling good at all.
Yeah.
I think that day after run is better.
Yeah.
But then a 10K race, that's a little...
That's a whole different ballgame, especially that course, like you mentioned. It's going to be so tough.
Yeah. So it'll be fun to see how many people are the wild man, wild woman, ultimate wild man and wild woman. And that's just a fun event. So just cross my fingers for the weather to hold out.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, you'll do well. I know that for sure. You're going to do well at the events because you're just such a solid runner. But yeah, hopefully the weather holds up and it's decent for that whole weekend. And one thing, too, I think that I wanted to mention is that Andy has really recently done such a nice job throwing these new and interesting approaches to racing, and with the series concept and Last Runner Standing and then this winter series that he had. He's utilizing the great trails that we have here in Duluth and really throwing some cool stuff at everybody to consider and to hop into and do his races. He and his wife, Kim, have done a really, really nice job with that.
Well, I think it's just, you know, fortifying Duluth as kind of a trail racing destination almost. I think people from all over the upper Midwest are coming to Duluth now for several different weekends throughout the year, whether it be for Voyager, Eugene Kernow, for the winter series even, just because there's nothing really like that, you know?
Yep.
If you're trying to get your mileage up in the winter, like that's such a great, I mean, that's what I personally used. And Wild Duluth, of course, you know, and especially being part of the Gnarly Bandit series, there's a lot of people who are, it's not just Duluthians, you know, I think it's a lot of people coming from all over the place, which is pretty neat.
Yep, that's very true. People do come from all over for these races. So.
Then should we get to kind of later on in the month?
Yeah, later on in the month. Races? Yeah, there's a handful of other ones left. October 26th, the North End Nightmare, a brand new 5K put on by the YAF over in Superior, Wisconsin. That's going to happen. That's an evening race, and that's going to be a really cool cool event. There's going to be a lot of stuff out there to see as kind of part of Superior's Halloween kind of weekend spooktacular festivities. It's going to be a very flat and fast 5K course, so if anybody's looking for a fast time, I highly recommend doing that 5K. And then also earlier that day, you can do another 5K in Esco, kind of Halloween themed, the zombie 5K in Esco that morning. So you can get two 5Ks in on that very day, which is kind of cool.
You don't even have to undress from your Halloween costume.
You can just wear it the whole time. Just
wear it the whole day.
I'm going as a runner. That's your Halloween costume.
Oh, that's not fair.
Yeah, that would be pretty lame, actually. And what else? Hawk Ridge, the last NMTC race is happening on, what, the 3rd of November?
Well, actually, there's Rolling Stone.
Oh, Rolling Stone.
Yep, that's on October 27th.
Okay.
That's on, October 27th, Sunday. And so the last three, as of this recording, NMTC, Bull Run. Is that right? Yeah, Bull Run. And then there's a little bit of a break. And then Rolling Stone on the 27th. And then Hawk Ridge on November 3rd, which is the series finale and potluck.
And potluck. And I might go to that one just because that's the one where there's free food.
And you can win prizes.
Well, I'll bring some food too. And well, yeah, then there's all the prizes too. I'm not going to take the biggest pumpkin though.
Yeah. Learn from me.
Yeah.
Well, that's about all the upcoming races. And then, yeah, geez, the season really kind of slows down after this October. And kind of crazy. It's just hot and heavy in October. And a lot of races going on all over the area and the state. And then just boom. So
I like the fact that we have this kind of slowdown period during the wintertime. Jess Koski alluded to this when we interviewed him. And I 100% agree with him. It's nice to have like this built-in break. Kind of maintaining that mental focus for so long is a difficult thing to do if you're looking to kind of compete and run fast for throughout the season. Tammy even alluded to this in her Gnarly Bandit series, because you definitely go through that aspect a little bit with Gnarly Bandit. But it's hard to go from, let's just say our racing season is April through October, and just to kind of stay focused and stay at the top of your game and fit and that kind of thing. It's a difficult thing to do. To have this winter break, as it were, is a nice thing. And then just enjoy some easy running and the beautiful winter running that we have in Duluth.
Yeah. Should we move on to the trails report?
Trails report, yeah.
I think the trails right now, I mean, nothing official, but it's been really wet lately. I know I went out last week to do some Wild Duluth course recon. And the trail, you know, it had rained last Saturday quite a bit, and so I was a little nervous about being on the SHT, but actually it was in good shape. And, you know, definitely some kind of soft spots and ran through some puddles, but it wasn't really muddy. And so I think at this time of the year, like, I don't know, you kind of just got to be aware. And really, if you're getting really muddy, if you're kind of trashing the trail, you know, probably turn around and...
Yeah, it has been really wet lately, so most of them, it looks like right now as we record on the 11th, are pretty much closed. The nice thing about the trails, and especially the new ones that they've built, is they do dry pretty fast. They've done a nice job of kind of figuring out the drainage and getting water to move off of them quickly, so that helps. And you know, hopefully they can get dried out a little quicker.
Like in the city of Duluth in the spring, they have like kind of the no trails kind of period for the spring thaw. They don't really have anything like that in the fall. You know, check the city website, Parks and Rec, check COGS, and check the Superior Hiking Trail for kind of their, SHTA, the current conditions on their website will sometimes kind of say like whole trail is muddy or the trail is dry in good condition, as well as just like trailhead closures and things of that nature. I guess upcoming deer hunting season is kind of around the corner, and the SHT technically kind of closes for that. So
yeah. Firearm will start in November. I think bow and arrow is actually right now.
Yeah.
That's going on right now, and firearm starts in November. I was actually out running on Fox Farm Road last weekend, just on the gravel road. That's an area that gets a lot of hunters. And, you know, when I was out there before, I saw a lot of guys out, you know, in their orange. They were just driving in their trucks, going to their spots. So there already were quite a few hunters. But when you're out there in rifle season, it gets a little sketchy. I try not to go out there then because you just hear the rifles going all over the place. And that's a tight spot to be. But certainly with even in town and with some of the in-town bow hunting, sometimes you do want to be a little cautious of it, I guess.
Yeah.
And try to think about wearing some bright colors.
Right. And grouse hunting is going on, I think, right now. And there's a ton of different types besides just rifle, deer rifle season. But
yeah,
just like you said, yeah, I mean, I think wearing bright colors is definitely not a bad idea.
Yeah, I do. I figure, you know, it's not something that we have to deal with for very long, but right. It's just better safe than sorry.
Yeah. Do you have anything for Coach's Corner?
I don't. No.
Okay, let's move on. Yeah. Gear review.
Nope, nothing.
I picked up a pair of the Ultra Superior 4.0s. And I haven't really given them a fair shake, but I've been kind of into the zero drop movement, and I was scared. I was scared because I got a pair of the Torin Plush, mm-hmm. which is a road running shoe from Ultra. It's a little bit of a cushier, soft shoe. I wanted it just to kind of belt out some miles, and I was a little nervous about it. You know, just like, are my calves and Achilles going to hold up? And they have. And I think I mentioned this even last week, but
yeah.
I kind of like the feel of the shoe and the low drop. It's just something different. So I'm curious to see how the Superior will work. But I will say I'm running Wild Duluth 100K in the Brooks Cascadia.
Nice.
Yeah. That's my old standby.
Yeah.
And so I really like that one. And I was kind of anxiety shopping for shoes. So now I have four different trail shoes that I'm rotating right now. So it's getting a little out of control, but
but it's nice to go to your tried and true Cascadia, yeah. and for your Wild Duluth races that you have coming up. That's sort of a potential that is no longer a potential. You can check that off the list of things to be concerned about.
Right.
There's other going to be other things, but at least with your footwear, you're like, okay, I got that dialed. I can forget about it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love trying new shoes, and I try not to be like a brand loyalist. You know, saying, well, I only do the Brooks Cascadia. But it is nice to have something that you can kind of rely on and that you know works for you pretty much every time. And yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with the Cascadias. So
cool.
Tony, what are you into lately?
Well, what am I into? I was into, they're done now, but the World Championships, Track and Field World Championships in Doha. And there was a lot of stuff going on during those 10 days or so or whatever it was. A lot of kind of, so for me it was kind of a mixed bag of feelings that happened during those events. Some things that I kind of wanted to highlight and talk about a little bit was, number one was the poor attendance in Doha, which everybody, for one, when mentioned to people, oh, it's in Doha, they're like, where's Doha? Nobody knows where that is.
Where is Doha?
Yeah, Doha is in Qatar. Does that help?
Okay.
That doesn't even help half the time. It's in the Middle East. Qatar is a little peninsula country in the Persian Gulf. Anyway, that's where it was. The idea was, so they claimed it was trying to introduce the idea of track and field to the Middle East area. Plus, they're going to host the Soccer World Cups here in a little bit. So it was kind of a nice little testing ground for them. But I don't know. It's just not a track and field hotbed. And so a lot of people, you'd either have to travel or they're just simply not going to go. Typically, these world championships are either in Europe or they're in Asia, somewhere where track and field, especially in Europe, is a much bigger and popular sport. Speaking of locations for the world championships, they're going to be in Eugene, Oregon next round, which is really cool.
It's actually a hotbed.
That's going to be, our kind of one lone U.S. hotbed for track and field fandom. Mm-hmm. Is going to be in Eugene. So that's going to be cool. But anyway, the poor attendance was a major factor, especially early on. In fact, they were giving away free tickets to people in the streets to get people to show up and be in the stadium. Particularly, there was the nation of Qatar had a really good high jumper, and they really wanted to get the stadium filled for that, so that they could cheer him on, which I believe he did win gold in again. But poor attendance was definitely a factor. Also, it's hot there. It's in the Middle East. And so how do you run a marathon in those conditions? Well, they try to have them at midnight. The women's marathon specifically was absolutely brutal. I think of something like 60-some people that started, like 28 dropped out.
Wow.
It was really, really bad. It was temperatures like low 100s, 103 or something like that, with crazy high humidity.
Wow.
Even having it at midnight.
At midnight.
And then try to have a world championship marathon race at that time is really bad. The men's was still hot, but it wasn't quite as bad as with the women's. People were like getting carted off.
Yeah.
It was bad. So wow. That's just something that, I don't know. That's not necessarily a good thing for the marathoners. However, when it comes to weather conditions, one cool thing that the race did in the stadium, the main stadium itself, they air conditioned the entire stadium, even though it's an outdoor stadium. It has an open roof. But they had these huge jets all along the edge of the track blowing cold air, and that actually worked really well. From all the reports that I read, that air-conditioned stadium was great. In fact, performances were outstanding. So even though it's, I don't know, 100 degrees outside the stadium, in still an open-air stadium, it was cool and runnable inside. And the performances somewhat indicated that, which I'll talk a little bit about maybe why later, but the performances were outstanding. The depths of the field were great. The racing was really good. It wasn't always such a sit-and-kick kind of race like a lot of championship races tend to be, whether it's in 1500 meter all the way up to 10,000 meter. A lot of times those races are just everybody go slow, and then sprints for the last 500 meters or something. These were actually fast races, which was really cool to see. It makes it more exciting in my mind. However, there's going to be a little asterisk with the performance aspect, and that's because of some of the drugging and doping issues that were kind of occurring with the Salazar ban. So he was banned for 4 years, and now just recently, just this morning, found out that the Nike Oregon project has been shut down. So there's a lot of stuff going on. So with the performances, was it the fast racing? Was it the great competition? Was it the cool stadium? Or was it drugs? And so that's always a little bit of a black eye in the endurance sports world. Hopefully running is getting it cleaned up. I know cycling and skiing have been through it, and they continue to go through it too. It hasn't gone away, but it's really hitting the track and field world pretty hard right now. So anyway, that's one of the things that I was into, was the world championships for track and field.
Nice.
How about you? What are you into?
You know me, I'm always into fastest known times and cool. The Superior Hiking Trail. Yep. So there has been, and I have a lot to talk about this year.
Okay.
So there's been a lot of fastest known time attempts and new ones, and it's been really fun to track, and that's just what I'm into in general. So yeah, I always have something to talk about on the Duluth Rundown podcast. So that's nice. Anyways, the unsupported record went down just a couple weeks ago. Rory Anderson, who is a YouTube vlogger under the name Follow Bigfoot.
Okay.
And this was his second attempt on the unsupported fastest known time. And so he kind of does these backpacker through hiker videos, like he did the AT a couple years back, and so has all sorts of very informational videos about, you know, how to pack, how to go lighter, what to eat, this sort of thing. And it was cool to see him go back with vengeance. And I haven't had the full kind of heard the full story, but I assume he's going to do a video. But I have heard kind of through the grapevine that he forgot one of his water bottles, and so he had to make do with his dirty water bottle instead of his clean water bottle for filtering. And then also I heard through the grapevine that he broke his trekking pole like a quarter mile into it. So he had like one trekking pole. So I know he had some issues, I guess. And I mean, I don't think you really go through like a fastest known time without some issues. So yeah. Good for you, Rory. Congratulations. So his time was 7 days, 13 hours and 25 minutes. And so that was about, 7.5 hours faster than AJ Pickett, who had a 7 day, 20 hour, 56 minutes. So, and that's still well over 24 hours slower than the supported record that was set recently. So yeah, a lot of new, I mean, just looking at the recent fastest known times, and I mean, there was three, you know, in 2019 already. So the supported one was set and then beat, pretty crazy. And then Alex Elizabeth, who is Minneapolis area trail runner, ultra marathon person, she just posted that she's going for a southbound supported fastest known time starting on October 21st. And so that is right around the corner. And so, yeah, and I think she's probably going to be one of the last ones to attempt it this year, I would think. But always fun to track along. And, there's no real female fastest known times even set. So as long as she finishes, you know, she's got her name up there. And she's already tried this year. So this is kind of like Rory, you know, kind of the second go around. And we'll see.
Cool.
So that's what I'm into. And I don't really have a shout out either. So if you have some shout outs.
I do have just a handful of shout outs to some local people. Basically, these are my, you know, some friends of mine that did well. So one shout out to my buddy Dave Hypanen, who ran a 10K out in Grand Forks a couple of weeks ago, and he won that, and he's just back from an injury. So to see him back racing and feeling good is really nice. So I'm really happy for him to come back from that injury that took him out for a little while, a long amount of time for Dave, because he doesn't get hurt that often. But I know it's hard when you're injured like that, and for him to come back successfully. He ran 35:26, which is a nice time out there, and I know he's running Whistle Stop 10K tomorrow as well, so hopefully he can put down another nice time at that. So I'm happy for Dave to do well. And also have a couple of friends, Dave Schuneman and Sonia Schuneman, who ran the Hennepin races last weekend. Sonia did the 50K, and she had a nice year for her. With a couple of big goals to do some bigger trail races, which she did. And then Dave did the 100-miler. So that's another 100-mile finish for Dave. So congratulations to those guys. And also to my friend of mine who has a really cool, and Mike, you can speak to this too, because we were talking about it before we started recording, really cool kind of, she calls it the Onward Project. Her name is Amy Broadmoor, and she's got this really cool kind of photojournalist project on Instagram. It's on Facebook. It's called Onward Project, or the Onward Project. It's really neat. It's all about, it's different races that women are doing, like that are mothers. They have their lives, their busy lives with kids and families and their careers, and but at the same time doing these really cool races. It's a really cool project. I just like following her posts.
Yeah, I look at it on Instagram, and it's project_onward.
There you go.
And yeah, it's just a cool project from a local trail racer. And Amy does a ton of photography for local races. If she's not racing, she's doing volunteer photography. So
her and her whole family are volunteering at races a lot of times.
Yeah.
Her husband and her kids are always there.
And it's just kind of neat. You get like a little quote. So every like post is a quote of, you know, her subject and kind of like what the challenges are being a female athlete and or successes. It's a really neat project. So definitely check that out.
Yeah, super inspiring and super interesting. And we just really enjoy
Project Onward.
Project Onward. Yep. Cool.
So with that being said, I suppose let's get on to part two, which is the interview with Tammy Davis, local trail runner and going for a Gnarly Bandit, I guess, series completion.
Yeah.
With Wild Duluth coming up.